morning I'm going to be reading from John 4, 46 through 54. Then he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. There's a story told of a Methodist and a Baptist. They were discussing the subject of infant baptism. And the Baptist asked the Methodist friend, "Do you believe in infant baptism?" "Believe in it," the Methodist replied. "Why, man, I've seen it." The same might be said by almost any minister if the question were asked. "Do you believe in spiritual healing?" "Believe in it? Why, I've seen it." We may not talk much about those kind of experiences, the spiritual healing, but spiritual healing is real. And it's not like we're going to go out and set up a tent and put up a great big sign that says, "Come and be healed." That's a totally different thing. Spiritual healing is something that comes from our faith in Christ. Spiritual healing comes from prayer. Spiritual healing comes from trusting in God. No matter what's going on in your life, whether it be physical ailment, an emotional ailment, a disappointment, something that has broken your heart, lost love, whatever, spiritual healing is real. And all it requires is asking Jesus. And we ask Jesus, of course, through prayer. Prayer is communication. It's not just kneeling down and spouting off a bunch of words, saying amen and getting up. Prayer is communication. It's talking to one another, you and Jesus, and listening for his response. Just like, "Go, your son will live." Several years ago, the National Council on Churches took a survey of clergy. They sent questionnaires to about 1,000 ministers in cities, small towns, and rural areas, and they asked if any of them had ever had an experience of spiritual healing in their ministry. They got an astounding 460 ministers that replied, "Yes, we have." They said that they had had some experience with healing as a result of prayer in their ministry. That's not quite half, but that's a significant percentage of those that they asked. And that's very important. I'm sure most of you could look back on your life and think of a time when you experienced spiritual healing. Some doctor tell you, "Well, he's only got 2 more weeks, or he's only got a year, or I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." And I'm sure that you have gone and prayed, asked others to pray with you perhaps, and everything would be fine. Not that the doctors were wrong, but God is a better physician than they are. And it happens. And we've all seen it. And it's just a matter of Jesus saying the word. See, this royal official, if you look at the geography of the setting that they were in, Capernaum was on the coast It was a merchant city, a crossroads, big place. They don't really tell us what kind of an official he was, but the assumption is that he was probably working for Herod, that he had a prominent position, and yet he had heard that Jesus was in Galilee. And he had also, like most people around the Sea of Galilee, had heard about all these miraculous things that Jesus had done, the healings, the changing the water into wine, the removal of the demons, all those things, I'm sure that got around. And unfortunately, this kind of annoyed Jesus a little bit, if you listen to what I read. But anyway, he returned to Galilee, which was where he did his first miracle, the water and wine. And so many people knew about him, had heard about him, that they flocked around him when they saw him coming into town. But the problem is, they flocked around him wanting to see him perform miracles, signs and wonders. They were wanting to see him as a magician of sorts. Let's see you make some special thing happen. Let's see a miracle. Which annoyed Jesus because he was there for the message. The fact that he healed people and cast out demons, that was just something that he did because he cared. But what he was really here about was the message. Anyway, this official, you can imagine, was probably sitting at the table with his wife thinking, you know, I've heard about this guy in Galilee that could probably help our son. If he doesn't get any better, I think I will go there and see if he can do something. Remember, this is 20 miles. This is a five-hour walk for this man to go find Jesus. And about the time he gets to Jesus, about the time he walks up on him, he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the man's probably thinking, boy, I came at the wrong time. But anyway, he'd still asked. And Jesus, seeing the desperation in this man, had pity on him and looked at him and simply said, go, your son will live. And I think the reason that he did that is because he saw the desperate need. He saw in that man a need for caring, a trusting faith that Jesus could do something about it. The man wasn't like the rest of the crowd that was walking up to see him perform magic. He had a genuine need, and Jesus saw that. And so Jesus looked at him and said, go, your son will live. And the man never questioned it. The Bible tells us he turned and went back home. That's all he needed to hear. He wasn't going to try and argue with Jesus and say, no, you need to come with me. You need to come touch my son. He immediately turned and went back home. And you know, if you think about this, remember this is a five-mile walk. He probably didn't go back home that day. He probably spent the night somewhere because that's how good he felt about what Jesus was doing for him. He knew his son was going to be fine. Because the Bible tells us that his servants met him on his way back the next day. And we get the next day out of that because he asks his servants, when did he start feeling better? And they said, yesterday at 1 o'clock. And he immediately thought to himself, that's the exact time that Jesus said, go, your son will live. And so he totally believed, and his household all believed, simply from Jesus speaking the words, your son will live. We look at those spiritual healings, those miracles, if you will, and sometimes we think, well, was that a coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe everything happens for a reason. I believe in God incident. God has complete control, and things that happen don't just randomly happen as a coincidence. That things truly happen for a reason. And I can say that because if you think about it, you pray for people individually or as a group of people. You pray for somebody and you see them get better. But then you kind of fall away from praying and things don't quite go as well. Your incidence of coincidence goes down. So you got to think to yourself, prayer really does do something. Prayer really does work. And that's not discounting the work of the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals and the staff and all those things. God gave us those people. He gave them their gifts, their talents to help us. Praying just reinforces that. Praying kind of channels God's power through our doctors and our nurses that they can help us better. And that's how that works. And deep down, I'm sure that God wants us to be healthy. It's His will for us not to be sick. I can't imagine a God that wants us to suffer. He wants us to be happy, healthy, well off. He's not going to stand there and say, just buck it up, you're going to have to deal with it. He doesn't do that. His will is for us to be healthy. The problem is, His will is not always done here on earth. His will is not always accomplished. Not because He couldn't make it happen. He could forcibly make things happen here on earth, but we all remember the little incident in the Garden of Eden where we decided instead of God providing for us, we wanted free will. So God was like, okay, make your own decisions. You have free will. So it's not always God's will, the things that happened to us on earth. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, one of the first things in there is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is pretty much telling us, God's will is not going to be perfected here on earth until the kingdom comes. So we know God's will is not always happening. It's not being done perfectly in this world. The things that happen to us happen because we don't always follow God's way. We don't get the will of God. Things always happen for a reason. And I don't know, people, when something bad happens in their life, they think to themselves, why? Why, God? Why did that happen? And they don't like hearing it, but I always tell them, look, there is a reason for that. God had a reason. God's not trying to be mean to you. God is not trying to punish you or anything. There's a reason for it. We may not understand it at the time. But praying about it and trusting and continuing to have faith in Jesus helps us to understand it better. That God has our best interest at heart. He wants to heal us spiritually, whether it be a physical ailment or an emotional ailment or a lost loved one or any number of those bad things. And then I tell people, listen, sometime down the road, you may look back and go, aha, that's why that happened to me. See, there's a reason that things happen. Just like all the things in the Gospels, when Jesus does certain things, it's because He wanted to show us something. There's a reason for everything. Spiritual healing is one of our most important concepts. It's a gift from God. It's His way of helping us feel better about what's going on. It's His way of helping us feel better about ourselves. It's His speaking the word and us saying, okay, great, now I know it's taken care of. It's laying at His feet and walking away from it. Don't try to tell Him how to do it. Don't try to outguess Him. Just lay it at His feet. Trust Him. And He will take care of it. But you have to be in the right frame of mind for those kinds of things to happen. It's called psychosomatic medicine. And if you take the Greek words that make psychosomatic, psyche is spirit. Soma is body. So if you look at that, you can see how our psyche, the spirit, can affect our bodies. Doctors have even figured this out. I know there are several, maybe quite a few, doctors in Bowling Green that before they do surgery or perform some kind of a procedure on you will walk into the prep room and ask you, would you like to pray before we go in there? Because they know that people that are prayed for do better, recover quicker, and are healthier afterwards. They know this, that it's not all about the pills and whatever it is that they're doing to fix your ailment. It's not all about the doctors and the nurses and the medicine. A big part of it is this spiritual healing. And it's not just about physical ailments and praying for healing. It's about those emotional problems that we have. Those things that just seem to depress us and tear us down. That's another great way for God to show us spiritual healing. Because He wants us to be happy. He doesn't want to see us depressed and suffering. And all it takes is prayer. And great things can happen. Amazing things can happen when you pray and listen for God's word. And you think about God's word, think about the very beginning of creation. God spoke everything into existence. He didn't touch those things. He just said, let there be, and it was done. Except when it comes to man and woman. He actually put His hands on those and breathed life into them. But that just shows you that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that Trinity, have the power to speak it and it be done. So if you pray about something and you listen for God's words back to you, you can count on it that that's going to happen. Because if He says it, it is going to happen. You can call it divine healing. You can call it faith healing. Call it whatever you want. But those kinds of healings come to you from the courtesy and the gift of God. It's divine. All healing, spiritual healing, is divine. It's opening a channel for Him to provide us with that healing, that power. It's not like sending a bunch of letters to your congressman, or all of us sending a bunch of letters to our congressman and him saying, wow, I guess I should do something about this. It's not like that. Praying together just gives a better channel for God to provide His healing spiritual power. The more people that pray for you, the better it turns out. And it's not like in Star Wars where the force be with you, but there is a force to it. There is a power to it, a godly power. Dr. Charles Mayo, one of the founders of the Mayo Clinic, he says Christian healing has passed beyond the stage of experiment, and its value cannot be questioned. Spiritual healing is no longer the hope of the few, but the belief and practice of a large and rapidly increasing number of people. Here is a very knowledgeable, very good doctor who realizes that it's not all about things here on earth. It's also about prayer. It's also about spiritual healing. Healing that we may say is done from a distance. Even though I believe that the Holy Spirit being in us, Jesus is right there with us. We may not physically feel Him touch us, but He can heal us nonetheless. He doesn't necessarily need to lay His hands on you. And that's kind of the point he was making with this official. I don't need to go touch your son. Just go, and your son will live. And if you remember, there was another example of that, where the centurion came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. And Jesus was like, okay, take me to him. And the centurion said, no, I don't deserve to have you come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word, and I know it will be done. And Jesus was absolutely amazed. Never have I seen such great faith. And that's where spiritual healing comes from. All you have to do is believe. Have faith. And it's not faith in the medicine. It's not faith in the doctor. Oh, we have to trust those things. But it's faith in God. It's faith in knowing He's going to say the word and things will be okay. There's a man named Leslie Weatherhead. Wrote a book on psychology, religion, and healing. And he kind of explains it like this. He says, when this person prays for this person, he does not, if you will, make a ball of prayer, throw it up at God, and God throw it back down with greater force. That's not what happens. The first individual and the second individual are both in contact with God. And when you pray for one another, if the first individual prays for the second individual, that just opens up a path for God to provide the power to heal that person. And that's how it works. Prayer reinforces our connection, our contact with God. Quite a few years ago, some of us probably remember party lines where you could listen in on your neighbor's conversation. Well, there was a little telephone company in Indiana that had party lines, and they were all battery powered. But they had a problem. There was an elderly lady who always left her phone off the hook because she wanted to hear what was going on in the neighborhood. But that caused her batteries to drain and also caused the batteries of her neighbors to drain. So they had a hard time keeping that up. Now you take that example and turn it around. That's how prayer is. It recharges our batteries. It doesn't drain them. It does the reverse. It recharges our batteries, like we are linked up as a kind of a party line with God. He is our source, and He recharges us. He recharges our batteries. He recharges our spirit. spiritual healing is like that. And we can call it a healing miracle or whatever you want to call it, but it is a spiritual thing. And if you think about the theology of an intercessory prayer, that's what that does. It intercedes. When you pray an intercessory prayer for somebody, you are asking God to intercede in whatever is going on. And that's what he does. And you're not changing his mind about how things are going to go. He knows how things are going to go. You are asking him to provide his spiritual healing power for the person that you're praying for. And again, it does not have to be something physical. It can be some emotional problem that you're having. Something that has broken your heart. And he can heal those things too. He can lift you up and recharge you. And that's how that works. Jesus tells us in John 20:29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And I think that's most of us that are here. We've not seen, but we believe. God could just as easily come down here on earth and cause things to happen that would make us believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, because we saw it happen. But he doesn't want it that way. He wants us to believe through faith. Believing is not seeing. It's knowing he will take care of what needs to be done. Not that he can, but knowing that he will. We have to trust in those things. We have to know that it's going to happen. Just like the man that asked him about his son, and he said, go, your son will live, and that was it. He turned around and walked away because he knew it was okay. It's not about worry or fretting or stewing over something. When you pray about it and you leave it with God, let it go. Jesus tells us, don't worry about getting even with your enemies. Love them. But we have a tendency in our society to say, don't get mad, get even. Jesus says, don't worry about having enough food or clothing. Consider the lilies of the field. But our society today says, you've got to look out for number one. If you don't do it, nobody will. It's about love and caring. It's about faith and praying. It's about trust and knowing God is going to do what needs to be done. Gandhi used to tell people, kind of in a way that Jesus did, do not return evil for evil. That's not going to do you any good. Do not insist on an eye for an eye, or all of us will wind up blind. And that's probably why he was assassinated. Martin Luther King, he kind of had the same philosophy. That was his message. Love one another. Do not return evil for evil. And that's probably why he was assassinated. Satan doesn't like it when people try to get us on the straight and narrow. He fights us over it. And we are truly in a war-weary world, a world that faces terrorism every day, somewhere in the world. And it would be easy for us just to say, okay, I give up. But we can't do that. We always have to go to Christ and ask him for healing, whether it's for us or for somebody else, whether we do it individually or as a group. Spiritual healing is available for all of us. It's a gift from God, and it will lift up your spirits. It will make you happy. It will heal you. It will help you to understand that just because this is happening right now doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing. It may look bad now, but it may not be a bad thing in the long run, because God sees what's happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. And He loves us enough to make things work the way that is best for us. John Wesley, he even published a little book of folk medicine called The Primitive Physic, P-H-Y-S-I-C-K. And some of it's pretty primitive, some of it's kind of ridiculous. But it was a compendium to what was considered the state-of-the-art of medicine at the time. And you might ask yourself, why would a preacher be publishing a book on medicine? But he did that because John Wesley believed that God's will for everyone was perfect health and wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. He believed that we are getting along on less than that. We are getting along on less than Christ came to give us. And so you can see where he wanted us to understand that it's about prayer. It's about adding to what the doctors are doing, those doctors that God gave us. And healing is there. Spiritual healing. John Wesley even insisted that in the hymnals that he had anything to do with, Methodist hymnals, that one of the 6,500 hymns that Charles Wesley wrote was the first one in the hymnal. And it partly goes like this: Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. Because he wanted people to see that first in the hymnal and know that our Savior, Christ, can spiritually heal us, whether it's being deaf or dumb or lame or blind, matters not. He can take care of it. And he will take care of it. All you have to do is ask. And he is there to lift us up and do what's right for us. Amen.